One of the major issues before St. Louis voters in the April election is Proposition 1. It seeks approval of a half-cent sales tax to help fund Metrolink expansion, but it gets a little more complicated than that because passage of Proposition 1 would trigger another tax increase, an increase in the use tax, which would be used to help fund construction of a downtown soccer stadium. That's outlined in Proposition 2, also on the ballot. Joining me in studio are Noel Schaefer, a special assistant to the St. Louis mayor's office. The mayor's office is squarely behind the proposition. Ken Newhouse is not. He is the founder of No Mo Sales Tax, whose name makes that quite clear. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Let's start with the proponents, and I'll start with you, Noel. What's your best case for this?
Absolutely. Thanks again for having us.
Sure.
I think that our city's long-term future hinges on our ability to make critical investments into infrastructure, neighborhoods, and ultimately ourselves, our city, and our region. That's why we're asking voters to approve a half-cent sales tax that's projected to generate about $20 million annually. Prop 1 will allow us to build Phase 1 of North-South Metrolink, revitalize struggling neighborhoods, expand job training and youth empowerment programs, and make overdue investments in our infrastructure and improve public safety. Taken together, we think that these investments represent a holistic approach to urban revitalization and will help us grow momentum in the city's central corridor to neighborhoods north and south.
Ken, you're going to take some exception to that, I suspect.
You know, I have to, and I have to agree, though, with Noel, we do need to increase our activity in north and south St. Louis City with Metro. I am in favor of Metro expansion, but I am opposed to it being via a sales tax because those users who use the Metrolink are more poor and middle-class families. And currently in the city of St. Louis, we have sales tax rates that are some of the highest in the nation. And with this half-cent sales tax increase, we can see sales tax rates in the city reach in parts up to 12%. So I am not ready to place this burden on the poor and lower middle class to pay for Metrolink expansion that they will be using. There are other methods that I would rather use to fund this Metrolink expansion. I would encourage St. Louis City to look at a potential income tax increase, but exempt the first $25,000 to $50,000 in income from being taxed there, so that the upper echelons can start paying for this, so we can increase, like you said, more ridership to people in the north and south for a system like Metrolink. There's also a property tax increase, which you can then look at, which is not as progressive for the rich and not as regressive for the poor. It's more balanced out for the bottom 20% of income earners compared to the top 1%. And also you can do there for a personal property tax is exempt the first $15,000 to $20,000 in personal property, so those people at the bottom are not taxed.
Noel, is this a disproportionate tax as far as the poor people are concerned?
A couple things. I think all those ideas would be great if they were feasible. I'll go point by point. When you go for a user fee, that hasn't worked in any city across the country. I mean, in 2016, cities actually levied $200 billion of taxes on themselves to invest in mass transit, and that's because this is a public good, and the way you pay for public goods is through taxes. If you look specifically about the earnings tax, or because that's what the income tax is, that's the earnings tax proposal, or a property tax, we face real challenges at the state level in terms of implementing those. Property tax, we are maxed out. We literally would need legislation at the state level in order to get that done. Earnings tax, similar thing. Right now, the state is actually trying to take away our ability to levy the earnings tax at all. So increasing it sounds good. I wouldn't be against it, but we need to talk within the realm of the feasible, because at the end of the day, city residents can't wait. 33% of households in North St. Louis don't have access to a car, and that cuts them off from opportunity, that cuts them off from jobs, education, healthy food, and as I said, we can't afford not to make this investment.
Ken, but isn't a tax a tax a tax?
A tax is a tax.
Yeah.
And according to the Nonpartisan Institution on Taxation and Economic Policy, the bottom 20% of income earners in the state of Missouri and St. Louis County already pay 5.8% of their annual income in sales tax. And you want these people to be able to have access to ride North-South Metrolink to have more opportunity to get to their jobs, to school. But why should the burden be placed on them to fund this?
Yeah.
Why not people like Rex Singfield? Why not people who have higher incomes to help fund this? And so I understand where you're coming from, where the state needs to approve these things like another income tax in the city or a property tax increase. And I understand the base is leaving, but you're going to have more people leaving the city for the county or other counties or maybe in southern Illinois because the sales tax rate and your sales tax base is already tapped out. There's no reason to keep improving that or in keep increasing this to drive out your tax base where you want to fund this North-South MetroLink.
Just to be clear, Sinkfield is not involved in this in any way. Okay, just want to make sure people know that. Go ahead, Noel.
Once again, a couple points. First is we looked at a lot of possibilities when we were first approaching this, and this was the only feasible one we found, quite frankly. Second of all, if you look at our sales tax rate, it is 8.679%. That's the base rate in the city of St. Louis. Compared to cities across the country, it's above average, but it's not extreme. Cities like Chicago have over a 10% sales tax rate.
This brings it close to 10%, though.
No, bring it to 9.179%. Okay. Certainly closer, of course.
Closer, okay.
Certainly.
I'm sorry, I interrupted your train of
thought. No, the other point I want to make with respect to whether this is a regressive tax, I think when you think about a tax that's being levied, you of course need to think about where the money's coming from. And it's true that it's slightly disproportionately from lower income folks, but you also have to look at where the money is going to. And we think that where we're proposing allocating this money will also disproportionately benefit low income families. And that's important to keep in mind. And finally, with respect to our base and how this idea that the sales tax is somehow pushing away people, I don't think the biggest barrier to living in St. Louis or doing business in St. Louis is the sales tax. I think it's poverty. I think it's crime. And that's what this sales tax proposal is about. It's about making these investments in neighborhoods, in people through workforce development, in our public safety and in infrastructure, and of course through North-South MetroLink, that will long-term chart a path that allows us to reverse or to grow long term.
Is MetroLink expansion dead if this doesn't pass?
It's certainly not dead because we can always come back and ask again. But there's certainly no alternative that I know of other than through a sales tax to get MetroLink expansion. I do want to talk in a little bit of detail about what this proposal does get us in terms of MetroLink expansion. We project that – so first off, this generates $20 million a year, of which $12 million is dedicated to North-South MetroLink. The other $8 million is towards neighborhood revitalization, workforce development, infrastructure, and public safety. But that $12 million has a projected financing capacity about $350 million. And with federal match, that translates into about $700 million. What that would allow us to build is roughly an eight-mile line from a little south of Cherokee Street up Jefferson, across east on Shodo, up through downtown, all the way up to NGA and potentially a little farther. And that's really exciting because there's three important things about that route. It's got density in the south side. Cherokee Street in that area is not only the densest in the city but the densest in the region. It's got need. It goes through the poorest neighborhood in the city with 63% poverty and a car ownership rate of less than 50%. And it is tied to NGA and goes right by NGA, which and that's going to allow us to harness the catalytic potential of that project.
Ken, it almost sounds like it's a bargain for the way Noel describes it.
Well, he mentioned that some parts of North City are already at 60% poverty, and studies from 2000 to 2013 show that a vast majority of those areas have household incomes of $15,000 to $20,000. They have poverty rates of 40 to 60%, and I'm just appalled that the city would want to tax the poorest community in the city to fund a MetroLink expansion so they can have access to it. So you're wanting to tax the poorest residents in the city so they have access to something to ride, but where's that money going to come from there when their incomes are not expanding like the richer portions of St. Louis City?
Two quick points.
That's just my question.
First important thing to remember about a sales tax is that it's not just paid by residents of the city, which would be the case with a property tax. Folks who come into the city are also paying it, and that actually does dilute the burden on poor city residents. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that when we say you're pulling money from lowest income communities, what that actually means when we say a regressive tax is that poor low-income families or low-income individuals would pay a larger fraction of their income. But in terms of absolute numbers, the vast majority of the money still comes from wealthier families because they just spend more.
Did you want to respond to that? Yeah. Let me ask you a question, Noel, that I'm sure a lot of people are asking as a result of events in recent days, that being the fatal shooting at a MetroLink station. How do you think this is likely to impact the vote?
I don't know about the vote itself. I'm a little more on the policy side.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I will tell you is that we absolutely need to address Metrolink security. And it's not one or the other as well, because what we're talking about here is a long-term proposition. We need to pass this today in order to get this and ride it in 10 years is what we're talking about, because there's roughly 5-6 years of planning before us and then 3-4 years of construction. We need to pass it now because that planning costs a lot of money, over $100 million, and we need to be ready to spend that actually in May 2018 in order to enter project development with the FTA. But during that time, that's not the only thing we'll be doing. And actually, hopefully it won't be 5 or 6 years. It'll be now, and I can tell you this is something that we're talking very seriously about. How do we improve this? Because obviously it's got to stop.
All right. Ken, anything to add to that?
I would have to say that I agree that we need to increase Metrolink safety and Metro bus safety. It's appalling that we have people on here getting mugged and being killed over what I read the other day was just $5 the kid had to offer to the person.
It's tragic.
It's very tragic, and it's just appalling that we have, even though Metrolink is privatized and we have security on there, they don't have the opportunity to arrest these people. They don't have the opportunity to really do anything for public safety, and I would like to see something like this happen, but maybe before funding a North-South Metrolink with a sales tax, and I know some of that money is going to be dedicated to public safety, but maybe the city should be looking for other ways to fund public safety for the Metrolink before expanding.
I want to be absolutely clear that people understand your position, not that you haven't explained it very well, but you are against the means of financing this project, period.
Correct.
You're not against Metrolink. Obviously,
I'm not against Metrolink.
That's a good thing.
I'm 100% in favor. I ride Metrolink from the county down to the Cardinals games, Blues games. I have ridden it to work several times when I worked in the city. Mm. I think it's a great tool for people in the city to use who don't have a car. But just the means of a sales tax, which is regressive and hurts the lowest income earners in the city, is not the way to finance it. And that's my argument.
And Ken, I have a lot of respect for your philosophical position, but it's for city voters, it's not abstract. It's about connecting those families that are disconnected from jobs and opportunity. It is about investing in these neighborhoods and investing in public safety. Actually, I'd like to talk a little bit about the other $8 million, if that's all right, because $8 million is a lot of money, and I think voters deserve to know where that's going. And the answer is that it's split into four pots. First is neighborhood revitalization. And that's actually inspired by the HUD Choice Neighborhood Program, which is chock full of best practices. And basically, we do three things here. The first is we target our impact, because it doesn't make sense to take $2 million and spread it around 28 wards. We need to invest in one geographic area at a time and kind of achieve scale and transformation. So this $2 million will be dedicated to one neighborhood each year. Second piece is that it needs to be there needs to be a lot of community engagement. That's why every dollar that's spent of this $2 million will be approved by a panel of folks who live or work in those communities. And then finally, there needs to be leverage, because we know that $2 million can't transform a neighborhood on its own. And that's why we're asking folks to come with the partnerships in place and other resources where, for example, in the Choice Neighborhood, what we did is we're working with Justine Peterson to take a $500,000 seed fund, and that they can leverage that to issue $5 million in microcredit loans. And this is going to help fund that kind of innovative neighborhood revitalization strategy across the city.
Ken, doesn't that meet some of the things that you want to see happen and you fear will be disrupted if this passes?
You know, I'm in favor of community improvements, and I'm in favor of revitalizing neighborhoods, especially in North and South St. Louis City. I've always been told just by people living outside of the city and even in the central corridor of the city, don't go north of the Edward Jones Dome or the America Center, and don't go south of Scottrade. It's not good that we have these different factions in the city, and I would like to see an entire city where people can live and thrive without being in poverty. And having this money, the $2 million, like he's been saying, going to certain little portions each and every year, where are the new jobs going to come after that $2 million is spent? Where since that money is going to be gone from that specific area, is this going to keep lasting? Is this sales tax going to keep providing money for that specific area, or are you just going to shift that sales tax from this little area to this little area to this little area? And sooner or later, those people are still going to continue to be in poverty. although they have some improvement in their district for $2 million.
Well,
but where's the investment after that? That's my concern, and I would like to see if you would answer that.
It's in the kind of program that I just described, where a small amount of money can leverage a larger, longer-lasting program that invests in entrepreneurship startups. But also it's the fact that we really view this as a package deal. So you invest in these neighborhoods, and simultaneously you build out Metrolink to connect them to jobs. Because as you pointed out, median incomes in some of these communities are extremely low. I mean, in Preservation Square, it is $13,000. And to put that in context, a full-time minimum wage job is $15,400. What that means is that most of these people are either un- or underemployed, the vast majority of them, and we need to connect folks to jobs. And that's why a third piece of this package is $2 million for workforce development. So, for example, we currently have a great training and employment agency, Slate. But it faces one really big challenge, and that's that it's one of the very few training and employment agencies in the country that don't receive local money, don't receive general revenue funds. And that's a problem for two reasons. First off, it puts us at a disadvantage applying for foundational money because you usually need local match. But second of all, and more importantly, it's that federal money has a lot of strings attached. And specifically, in order to qualify for a job training program funded through federal funds, you need to take a 4-hour standardized test called the ACT Work Key. And it turns out the people who need the help the most are also those least prepared to take that test and succeed on that test. And 60 to 70% of folks who walk through Slate's doors, we have to then turn away because they haven't passed that test. This money would help us address that gap and connect more folks to jobs, together with North-South Metrolink, together with neighborhood revitalization, together with infrastructure and investments into public safety.
We have a tweet here from Mike who writes, as the city and county lose population, the only recourse is to increase taxes on those left in the metro area to pay the bills. Would you have to – would you go along with that, Ken?
No. I would like to say that's the way it's going. That's the way that Mayor Nation and County Executive Stanger talked about Prop P, which I'm fundamentally against also because it's a sales tax increase on the bottom 20% and middle income earners in St. Louis County, and also the city here with the Metrolink tax. I just think that there needs to be certain focuses in St. Louis City, and I would focus on public safety first and foremost before expanding this Metrolink via sales tax. There's so much of a tax base that you can take money out of, and I'm just very afraid that when you increase sales tax right now, which in certain portions of the city, especially where I worked in the past off of Olive, were roughly around 11%, and this could have gone up with CIDs and TDDs. And also, having a high state income tax and personal property tax, I'm just worried that it's going to take a lot of money away from people to really have the means to afford something like this via sales tax.
Another part of this, Noel, is the fact that Proposition 1, if it passes, is going to trigger an increase in the use tax, which is going to be used to build a downtown soccer stadium. A couple of things come to mind with regard to more taxes. They're not paid by the average citizen, paid by businesses. But this soccer thing has a lot of people upset. There's a stadium fatigue factor. People don't feel necessarily, a lot of them don't feel we need a soccer stadium. How does this impact what you're talking about here?
Well, the way I think about it is that Prop 2 gives voters a choice because, as you pointed out, the use tax is going to go up either way. If Prop 1 passes and voters approve this half-cent sales tax for everything we've just talked about, the use tax goes up automatically. Prop 2 asks voters, do you want this additional roughly $4 million in revenue dedicated to soccer, or would you like it to go back to general revenue? And I think it's a good thing that we're asking the voters because the voters have made it clear that they want their voice heard on this issue. At the end of the day, people who want Metrolink, people who want a holistic approach to urban revitalization can vote for one and then make up their mind about two. At the end of the day, whether or not two passes does not affect one.
As a policy guy, do you think it's a good idea to put the two – intertwine the two of these propositions like this?
I think that was a political call.
No doubt, no doubt. Ken, what do you think about that, the use tax aspect of this?
Well, there's no doubt that the use tax is paid for by businesses. It's quite clear. The mayor has pointed that out. The potential owners of the soccer stadium have pointed that out. A use tax is paid for by a business, but that that money that they pay out of a tax could be transferred over to the consumer. So you'll see a higher price via consumer. I'm not here to tell people whether to vote yes or no on Prop 1 and 2. I'm here to tell them that I believe and my organization believes it's bad policy to fund Metrolink via sales tax increase and Prop 2 via a use tax, which will be transferred to the consumer. Personally, I believe it's corporate welfare giving these millionaires money, this $60 million that they're looking for out of this. I believe that we do need something there in that blighted area of the Central Corridor in St. Louis City. I think many residents in St. Louis City would enjoy a soccer stadium. I think a lot of residents, too, who are going to vote on this would like to see that money diverted back to the general fund. So if that money is going to go somewhere, if this sales tax is increased and if Prop 2 passes, then they're going to get a stadium, depending on how the MLS rules on this. And if not, the $4 million a year is going to go back to the general revenue fund. And I guess the city could use it for safety or whatever they please with the general revenue fund.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're reaching the time where time is winding down. I'd like to give each of you an opportunity to kind of make your case, if you could, in 30, 40 seconds or so. I started with Noel at the beginning. We'll start with you here, Ken.
I'm just going to point out that, yet again, if you are in the bottom 20% of income earners in the state of Missouri and St. Louis City, you already pay 5.8% of your annual income in sales tax. This sales tax increase will not only increase the amount you pay each year in taxes, it will take away from the money that you won't or don't have. So it's bad policy for any sales tax increase to fund a project like this. It's your choice on April 4th whether you want to vote for it or not. This is a city choice, and once again, I believe this is personally bad policy. There are other things I would look at, but like Noel said, there are different things that could essentially fund this, but it has to go to a state level.
Your turn, Noel.
At the end of the day, first off, I respect Ken's philosophical position, but at the end of the day, I think cities need to invest in themselves. We heard from someone that we had to raise sales taxes because the tax base is leaving, and I kind of reverse that. We need to, because of the way our state, because of our state, sales tax is what's available to us if we want to make investments. And if we do want to secure a future, a strong future for our city, we need to make these investments in our future.
We'll have to leave it there. I'm afraid our time has run out. Thank you so very much, Ken Newhouse and Noel as well, Noel Pfeffer. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Arts and culture programming on St. Louis On the Air is funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Don Marsh.